This month, researchers announced they have used new satellite data to construct a map of the world's oceans. What they discovered was breathtaking. Thousands of undersea mountains and a ridge in the Gulf of Mexico under thick layers of sediment. The oceans cover nearly two-thirds of the Earth's surface, yet even in this era of Google Maps and GPS, very little is known about what lies beneath. Dave Gallo is an oceanographer and director of special projects at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He's with us from WCAI in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Dave, great to have you.
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you very much.
Well, why is so little known still about the bottom of the ocean and what it looks like?
Well, it's vast. The oceans are thousands of miles across, 10,000 in some places. It's deep, you know, average depth 2 miles, greatest depth 7 miles. You need all sorts of sophisticated technology to go there to the deep in the ocean. We can't use GPS. We can't use radio waves. You have to bring your own electricity and power and lights and stuff like that. And the pressure can be thousands of pounds per square inch. So it's not an easy place to get to, let alone explore.
What about mapping it via satellite the way that we do a lot of the rest of the world?
You know, that's a fascinating thing. Typically, satellite information doesn't penetrate through the skin of the ocean, but people at Scripps have found a way to use altimetry data, the gravity of the Earth, to actually see through the ocean, quote-unquote, see through the ocean waters, and they've made a spectacular map of the at least the major features of the ocean basins.
And then there is the mapping that is done with submersibles, right, that go right down there and take a look for themselves.
Yeah, it's a question of detail. So from the satellites, you get the big picture, you get the headlines. But if you really want to know what's going on, you've got to get in the water and in some cases get all the way down to the bottom.
So what do we know right now and based on these new maps of the world's oceans about what it looks like down there?
Oh, you know, it's a fascinating place, and for decades we've been studying the seafloor. If you took all the water off the planet, the most dramatic topographic feature on Earth would be this mountain range called the Mid-Ocean Ridge. It's a volcanic mountain range, 50,000 miles long, and it winds around the world like the seams of a baseball. And, you know, it's got thousands of peaks on it, higher than the peaks in the Alps or the Himalayas or the Rocky Mountains, the most rugged thing on the planet, and it's crisscrossed by thousands of valleys many times wider and deeper than the Grand Canyon. So also the flattest places on Earth are beneath the sea. And we find underwater rivers, we find underwater lakes, we find underwater waterfalls. And in places where we said there'd be no life at all, we find more life and diversity and density rivals the tropical rainforest. So it's just one world of surprises. And the kicker is we've only explored about, 5, 6, 7% of what's out there. Mm.
And what causes the topography deep down below the ocean? Because we know when we look at certain features above water that it was because a river carved through it or wind eroded certain parts of it. But in the ocean, it's all got water around it.
Yeah, it's called this thing called seafloor spreading. So actually, the continents are always moving around on the face of the Earth. And when they split apart, like Africa from North America or Africa from South America, it leaves a wound between the continents. And that wound almost never heals. And it becomes one big, long volcanic mountain range. So basically, it's plate tectonics causes the ridges, causes the trenches, the deepest places on Earth, causes the fracture zones, which are incredible fault systems like the San Andreas Fault. So it's all this thing called continental drift plate tectonics.
And we did learn about parts of the ocean that are called the Roaring Forties down near where the Malaysian Airlines flight 370 is thought to have gone down. There was a lot of mapping that went on there. Did that teach us anything about the ocean that we didn't know?
It sure did. You know, they're embarked on a mission to map a huge chunk of the ocean floor. I think it'd probably be the greatest single map at that resolution ever done. You know, I was a bit amused that people discovered that there was not only rough weather on top of the ocean, but that the bottom of the ocean was not flat like a fishbowl, that it had these incredible mountains at the bottom and valleys. And that's what was discovered. And it's spectacular, the topography there. Absolutely, positively amazing.
You led the search for the missing Air France flight 447 in the Atlantic in 2011. What did you learn then about what that part of the ocean looked like?
Sure. I was a co-leader of that. And the thing about that, it was left from Brazil, Rio, on the way to Paris and disappeared right over the top of that mountain range I talked about, smack dab between Africa and South America. And, you know, that was a plane that people thought would never be found because of the rugged terrain. And in effect, we were looking for the plane and then the black boxes. So the mission was to try to find something, two shoeboxes, the black boxes, in topography that was much rougher than the Rocky Mountains, only at night with a flashlight. It would be similar to that. So We were familiar. The thing about Woods Hole is that we've been for decades studying that mountain range, and so we knew what kind of technology you needed. We had the team that had the talent to go out there and do that kind of mission, and we had the plans, the planning, the expertise in how to work in incredibly rough terrain. And I think those three things, and plus a little bit of luck and confidence, allowed us to find that aircraft.
We're speaking with Dave Gallo of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and you're listening to Here and Now. And Dave Gallo, how much of the mapping of the ocean floor is being done by research institutions like the one that you're involved with? How much of it is being done by commercial interests, like, say, oil and gas developers? Or how much is being done because of somebody searching for something like an airplane that has crashed?
You know, all those different things that you mentioned, the three or four different entities, it's all different kinds of research with different kinds of goals and incentives. For science, it's always information. You know, we want to understand how this planet works. For oil companies, they want to know if there's any mineral resources there or energy resources. For planes or ships that go down to the bottom, you want to find something in particular. So, and there's not a lot of crosstalk between those different entities, but still all told, there's hardly any mapping at all. I mean, we're still down less than 10% of understanding what's out there beneath the waves.
Which countries are doing the most exploration?
Well, I think if you look at who's actually accelerating into the lead right now, China has come on incredibly strong. And they said they would, and they did. They've got the world's deepest diving submarine right now, a research submarine. They've made a commitment to build the robots and tools to explore the oceans and to become world leaders, and they're doing it. And so the U.S. has, you know, we're sliding backwards a bit, in my opinion. And it used to be the United States, France, Russia, and now China's jumping into the lead in a big way. Japan's doing a lot of work out there as well.
Why are we sliding back in the U.S.?
You know, I don't know. I've never understood this, given the promise of the oceans. You know, there's one thing to explore the oceans. It's exciting. But we now know today that the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, all of those are tied to the oceans. Climate change tied to the oceans. And yet, you know, we've got this intimate relationship with this body of water on the planet that we don't even understand. And it's clear that there's an advantage to be had by understanding what's going on in the oceans. And the first thing we need to do is explore it. Yet we don't give it a lot of attention at all, and I just don't understand what more we need to do to make that point.
What do you still want to know about the oceans? If you could answer one question that you don't know the answer to at the moment, what would it be?
I want to know how it all works together, how the evolution of the ocean and the evolution of life on Earth, especially humanity, how it all comes together. And I think it works like a symphony, that there's cycle on cycle and cycle, and out of that comes human evolution. And I think that's a beautiful thing, and that's what I'm after.
What do you mean? Explain more about that.
Well, I think the oceans have always been pathways and obstacles to human evolution. So we had to come out of Africa. In fact, the nucleus of life, the cradle of life, probably along the East African Rift, and that's actually part of that underwater mountain range. It happens to be above land, but that rift system is part of this ocean system. And the oceans are driving all the things that control our environment. So everything that, from weather patterns to where it rains, where it doesn't rain, hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes, all those things tied to the seawater, energy from the seawater or the seafloor beneath the seawater. So there's this relationship between the energy of the ocean and the seafloor beneath it and what goes on land. And I love that because if you look back in time on this planet, it's always been changing for 5 billion years. The face of the Earth has been changing, the climate's been changing, and it changes in rhythms and cycles on every scale from the very large to the very small. And watching that, like a piece of music or a symphony, is the thing I find the most fascinating.
Dave Gallo, Director of Special Projects at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Dave, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And we've got links to the new maps of the ocean at hereandnow.org, as well as a slideshow and some TED Talks that Dave Gallo has given. It's all at hereandnow.org. We're a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.